Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show, we are going to discuss view transitions and view animations in iOS. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo Training profile. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's get started. View transitions help you hide sudden changes associated with adding, removing, hiding, or showing views in your view hierarchy. You use view transitions to implement the following types of changes: changing the visible subviews of an existing view. You typically choose this option when you want to make relatively small changes to an existing view, or replacing one view in your view hierarchy with a different view. You typically choose this option when you want to replace a view hierarchy that spans all or most of the screen. Please note that view transitions should not be confused with transitions that are initiated by view controllers, such as the presentation of modal view controllers or the pushing of new view controllers onto a navigation stack. View transitions affect the view hierarchy only, whereas view controller transitions change the active view controller as well. Thus, for view transitions, the view controller that was active when you initiated the transition remains active when the transition finishes. Animations provide fluid visual transitions between different states of your user interface. In iOS, animations are used extensively to reposition views, change their size, remove them from view hierarchies, and hide them. You might use animations to convey feedback to the user or to implement some interesting visual effects. Creating sophisticated animations in iOS does not require you to write any drawing code. All the animation techniques that are described in this radio show use this built-in support that's provided by Core Animation. All that you have to do is to trigger the animation and let Core Animation handle the rendering of the individual frames. This makes creating sophisticated animations very easy with only a few lines of code. Both UIKit and Core Animation provide support for animations, but the level of support provided by each technology varies. Animations are performed in UIKit using UIView objects. Views support a basic set of animations that cover many common tasks. For example, you can animate changes to properties of views, or you can use transition animations to replace one set of views with another. The UIView class has 6 animatable properties, that is, ones with built-in animation support. Now, being animatable doesn't mean that animations happen automatically. Changing the value of these properties normally just updates the property and the view immediately without an animation. In order to animate such a change, you must change the property's value from within an animation block. Now, what are these 6 properties? Well, there's the frame property. Changing that changes the view's size and position relative to its SuperView's coordination system. Then there's the bound property. Changing that changes the view's size. Then there's the center property. Changing that changes the view's position relative to its SuperView's coordinate system. The 4th is the transform property. Changing that scales, rotates, or translates the view relative to its center point. This translation is performed in two-dimensional space. The 5th property is the alpha property. Changing that gradually changes the view's transparency. And the 6th and final property is the background color property. Changing that changes the view's background color. Now, animated view transitions are a way for you to make changes to your view hierarchy beyond those that are offered by the view controllers. Although you should use view controllers to manage simple, succinct view hierarchies, there may be times when you want to replace all or part of a view hierarchy. Now, in those situations, you can use the view-based transitions in order to animate the addition and removal of your views. Now, if there are places where you want to perform more sophisticated animations, or animations that are not supported by the UIView class, you may use Core Animation and you may use the view's underlying layer in order to create the animation. Because the view and layer objects are intricately linked together, changes to a view's layer affect the view itself. Using Core Animation, you can animate the following types of changes for your view's layer: the size and position of the layer, the center point used when performing transformations, transformations to the layer itself or its sublayers in 3D space, the addition or removal of a layer from the layer hierarchy, the layer's Z order relative to other sibling layers, the layer's shadow, the layer's border, including whether or not the layer's corners are rounded, the portion of the layer that stretches during resizing operations, the layer's opacity, the clipping behavior for sublayers that lie outside the layer's bounds, the current contents of the layer, and the rasterization behavior of the layer. Now, if your view hosts any custom layer objects, that is, layer objects that don't have an associated view, please realize that you must use Core Animation in order to animate any changes to those custom layer objects. Now, in order to animate changes to a property of that UIView class, you must wrap those changes inside what's known as an animation block. The term animation block is used here in the generic sense to refer to any code that designates animatable changes. In iOS 4 and later, you create that animation block using block objects. In earlier versions of the iOS, though, you mark the beginning and end of the animation block using some special class methods of the UIView class. Both techniques support the same configuration options, and they offer the same amount of control over the animation execution, but the block-based methods are preferred whenever possible. Now, in iOS 4 and later, as mentioned earlier, you use the block-based class methods in order to initiate these animations. And there are several block-based methods that offer different levels of configuration for the animation block. And there are these three class methods. They are animateWithDuration:Animations:, animateWithDuration:Animations:Completion:, and animateWithDuration:Delay:Options:Animations:Completion:. Because these are class methods, the animation blocks that you create with them are not tied to a single view. Thus, you may use these methods to create a single animation that involves changes to multiple views. These animations will run only once using an ease in and ease out animation curve. So if you want to change the default animation parameters, use the third method, animateWithDuration:Delay:Options:Animation:Completion:, method to perform your animation. So that lets you customize all the different animation parameters: the delay to use before starting the animation, type of timing curve to use during the animation, number of times it should repeat, whether the animation should reverse itself automatically when it reaches the end, whether any touch events are delivered to the views while the animation is in progress, and whether the animation should interrupt any in-progress animations or wait until they're complete before starting. Now, another thing that both animateWithDuration:Animations:Completion and animateWithDuration:Delay:Options:Animations:Completion method support is the ability to specify what's known as a completion handler block. You can use that to signal your application that a specific animation is finished, and that's also how you link separate animations together. That's completion handlers, by the way, is the primary way that you link multiple animations. Now, if your application runs in iOS 3.2 and earlier, then there's the methods that you use are beginAnimations:context:, and then commitAnimations. Those are class methods of UIView, and that's how you define your animation blocks. Those methods mark the beginning and the end of your animation block. Any animatable properties that you change between those methods are animated to their new values after you call commitAnimations. execution of the animations will occur on a secondary thread so as to avoid blocking the current thread or blocking your application's main thread. Again, remember that if you're writing your application for iOS 4 or later, use the block-based methods that we talked about earlier. Now, by default, all animatable property changes within the application block are animated. Now, if you want to animate some changes but not others, use setAnimationsEnabled colon as a method to disable animations temporarily, make any changes that you don't want animated, and then call setAnimationsEnabled colon again to re-enable animations. You can determine if animations are currently enabled by calling upon the Boolean class method areAnimationsEnabled. Now, changing the value of a property while an animation involving that property is in progress does not stop the current animation. The animation will simply continue and it will animate to the new value that you just assigned to the property. In order to configure the animation parameters for a begin commit animation block, you use any of several UIView class methods. I'm going to briefly discuss these methods and talk about how you use them to configure your animations. Now, most of these methods should be called only from within a begin commit animation block. Some may also be used with block-based animations. If you don't call one of these methods from within your animation block, there will be a default value for that corresponding attribute used, and please consult each method's description in the UIView class reference to find the appropriate default value for the corresponding attribute. There are 10 methods available to configure animation blocks. The first two methods are setAnimationStartDate colon and setAnimationDelay colon. You use either one of those methods to specify when the execution should begin executing. Now, if the specified start date is in the past, or if the delay is zero, then your animations will start up as soon as they possibly can. The third method is setAnimationDuration colon. Clearly, you would use this method to set the period of time over which to execute the animations. The fourth method is setAnimationCurve colon, and you use that method to set the timing curve of the animation, and this controls whether the animations execute linearly or whether they change the speed at certain times. In other words, do they speed up and slow down and all that sort of stuff. The next two methods are setAnimationRepeatCount colon and setAnimationRepeatAutoReverses colon. You use those methods to set the number of times the animation repeats and whether the animation runs in reverse at the end of each complete cycle. The next three methods are setAnimationDelegate colon, setAnimationWillStartSelector colon, and setAnimationDidStopSelector colon. And you use those methods to execute code immediately before or after the animation. So you can set up a delegate to delegate behaviors immediately before or after. And then the last method is setAnimationBeginsFromCurrentState colon. And you use that method to stop all previous animations immediately and start the new animations from the stopping point. Now, if you pass no to this method instead of yes, then the new animations don't begin executing until the previous animations stop. Now, I hope that you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there's a show that you'd like for me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thank you again for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio. You'll find it exclusively on gogotraining.com.